Roll the tape.
This podcast is protected by copyright and not for broadcast. See rsn.net.au for more details.
Here's where you get the Tasmanian racing edge. Now on Carnival, welcome to Tas Racing Talk. Here's Shane Yates.
Hello and welcome along to Tas Racing Talk. Today on the show, we'll catch up with Simon Stout, the co-development manager of Thoroughbred Racing in Tasmania. Tas Racing journalist Peter Staples will be along. Co-development manager of Harness Racing, Kevin Nielsen, joins us, along with tipster Jamie Cockshutt. Greg Fay and Rick Puccinelli will tip us all the winners and look back at the week that was in greyhound racing. So stay with us for the next hour on Tas Racing Talk.
He'll have a job to get past him. The cleaner knows how to fight, and he fights on and he wins. The cleaner first by a length.
Now, on Tas Racing Talk, time to talk thoroughbreds.
Co-development manager for Thoroughbred Racing in Tasmania, Simon Stout, joins us now to look back at the Winter Carnival and how it's proceeding at Devonport, and trying to tip us onto a few winners next week. How are you, Simon?
Terrific, Shane.
Now, before we hit the Devonport program, we had a Tasmanian performer flying at Flemington last weekend.
We did indeed. Kendrawood flew the flag very strongly on the back of the cleaner the week before. To make it 2 weeks in a row, we've had a Tasmanian bred graduate of our yearling sale post a victory at a Melbourne Metropolitan meeting, which his performance was quite dominant. And with a bit of luck, we'll see him down here for our summer racing carnival heading towards the Cups.
Well, before we can get to the summer racing carnival, we need to work our way through the winter carnival at Devonport. It's been a huge success so far by the looks of the results and the way the trainers and jockeys have really accepted the format.
It has, yeah. We had a terrific program of 10 races last week, and we're backing up again with 8 this week. And certainly the first of our features last week was the sprint prelude, which was won in dominant fashion by Innocent Gamble. And he shapes is certainly the horse to beat going forward into the final in 2 weeks' time.
A winning double for Barry Campbell, and that started off in the opening race with scouting around taking out the event in runaway style.
Yeah, it was a very, very impressive performance, this one, Shane, particularly in reviewing the Stridemaster sectionals. They ran noticeably faster time than the next division of the maiden, nearly 2 seconds quicker, and that could be attributed to by a very solid tempo mid-race. They ran from the 1200 to the 800 in sub-11 seconds per furlong, which is a bit of low flying. And the performance of scouting around was quite solid in terms of that he sat third in running. So he was up on that speed, not far off them, and was still managed to hold his form to the line. So he's probably one to follow going forward. From there, we moved to race three, which was also one of the maidens, and from the video and the sectionals, we found two here that probably got a star next to their name in terms of going forward and providing winners in maidens in coming weeks. And they're both from the Adam Trinder stable. One is Aaron Unparalleled, who was having his first start for Adam. And he found the line very strongly from back in the field. And the other was another of Adam's runners in Sweet Treat. And if you see the video, this filly, she's having her first start. She didn't tack on at all. She had no early speed, but still managed to come from last on the corner and rattled off some good sectionals in running her last 400 in 24.89 and covered ground in doing so. So I think she'll make good natural improvements in that going forward, and is certainly capable of stepping into a good maiden and finding the line.
We saw Adam surge up the trainer's premiership late in the season, just completed. He's really working up a pretty powerful stable, isn't he?
He is, yeah. He's got some terrific owners behind him, and his record has been very, very strong. There's not too many horses in his stable that don't manage to win a race. I think that it puts him certainly up there as one of our leading trainers.
Certainly going well, and was John Keyes to the fore with Don't We Love It. That was an impressive performance later in the day in race five.
Yeah, he was one of our better two-year-olds, and he's made that transition into against the older horses and certainly relished the 1350. It was a really, looking at the sectionals, it was a really sustained performance from out in front. He managed to break 48 for his last 800 metres, which says that, you know, it was above average in terms of Class 1 performance. And from behind him, probably one going forward, getting into a similar race, was Gigi Showboy. He gave quite a pronounced start to Don't We Love It, but still managed to run his last 400 in 24.02 to finish off very strongly and run second. So he's probably one going forward that we can follow. And rolling forward into race 8, we saw one of our older horses display a very pronounced return to form since joining the Brunton stable, and that was Loaded Owners. This bloke back to a benchmark 62 with the claim with Hayley McCarthy, and he ran off some terrific sectional, Shane. He managed to run his last 800 in 46.82, his last 600 in 36.25, and even his last 400 was in 24.73. So he's made you know, that's real sustained speed, and I think now that he's found form, the old boy, he might be one to follow going forward.
And a couple of fast finishes in race number 9.
Yeah, well, of course, we've highlighted the performance of Innocent Gamble, but from behind him, I thought the mare Allegro to here. She's resuming in what was a race that was most unsuitable in terms of distance. We certainly know her best form is around the mile to the 2,000-metre mark. And she was able to break 36 seconds for her last 600, which, aside from the winner, were the best sectionals of the race. So if you're looking at her going forward, I'd be quite encouraged by her performance and be happy to get back on her once she gets to her right trip.
Well, the Winter Carnival is in full swing. It continues this week again at Topeda Park, and one of the real highlights is the return of one of our top jockeys for the program.
Yeah, Sigrid Carr's making a return to Tasmania. Of course, she's transferred over to John Higham in Adelaide and doing a terrific job over there. And but she's back home, primarily, I think, to be reunited with Concrete Johnny, but she also picks up a few rides for several other trainers, as you'd expect, given her high popularity prior to her leaving. We also see three of our better juveniles return to the racetrack, that being Valdez for Graham McCulloch, Lustica for Barry Campbell, and GG's Double J for Stuart Gandy. So, you know, there's some real depth to this program.
Have you picked out a couple of winners for us?
Well, we've found a couple just that I think will present pretty reasonable value through the program. And the first of those is in race 2. We'll go with Sigrid and Royston Carr, and that is Rest Upon. This guy, he had two starts in Hobart, neither of which he managed to show any early speed, but his closing sectionals on rain-affected ground were terrific. He managed to pull a lot of ground off the horses out in front of him, and he ran fifth on both occasions. He gets the blinkers on. He comes off a bit of a freshen up. He heads to the Topeda for the first time, which could be a little bit of a risk, but certainly he has shown above average ability, and I think he's capable. If he handles the Topeda, then transition to it, he could be finishing well over the top of these. We go into race 3, and we've got one down the bottom here for Adam Trinder, as we've mentioned, stable well and truly on fire, and that is Viva La Verve. This horse is having her first start this time around, and she's a recent trial winner. In fact, yesterday she was a trial winner for Adam and Daniel Gandit, and Daniel stays aboard, and she's shown good progression at all of her trials. She's a filly by Statue of Liberty, and she can. She's in what doesn't look an overly strong maiden. She may be able to make her presence felt first time around. We move on to race 5, Shane, and out of the sectionals from 2 weeks ago, we found Gigi's Opera. She's going to get in with 54.5 here. In her last start over 1350, she managed to reel off a sub-24 last 400, which put her in the best horses on the day in relation to that time. So she gets back into a benchmark 62 here over 1650, and she's more than capable of, if she can reel off that performance again, figuring in the finish. As we mentioned, race six sees the return of GG's Double J, and whilst he certainly has run into a strong affair with the likes of Tuesday Night and Concrete Johnny, who we've highlighted in recent times in terms of their sectionals. If you catch the video on the Taz Racing website of this bloke's trial in Hobart, it was super impressive. He spaced them by about 8 lengths under double wrap. So I think he, despite the fact he's drawn awkwardly, he's well and truly the class runner in the race. And if he can make the transition to Peter Surface, which I think he can, I think he'll be probably getting the best odds you will or preparation for this bloke.
Well, he ran into Admiral a couple of times last season, so Admiral's not in the field on Sunday, so that'll give him a good chance.
Yeah, he's the only horse to have beaten to have beaten Admiral on track, and physically he's furnished. He's done all the right things for a horse going from 2 to 3, and I think he's going to be one of our star performers come the summer racing carnival, and we get a glimpse of that this week.
Yeah, looking forward to his return, that's for sure.
Mm. And in saying that, we do get a little bit of a preview here of some of our better staying horses in the distance prelude, the first of our feature distance races for the winter carnival. And we've got Big Time. He's highlighted as the horse to beat here, based on his win 2 weeks ago for Adam Trinder and Jake Bayliss. But one down in the weights, which is capable of running a very... very strong race, I think, is Super Broadband. He's a horse that ran 23.49 for his last 400 in a race here 2 weeks ago over 1350. He gets down on the minimum. If he can get the right run in transit, he's one of the horses that's capable of reeling off really strong sectionals late. So he could present good each-way value for punters in the program. And finally, we'll finish the program with the horse that we've highlighted in our recap in recent weeks, and that's Tennessee Drive. He gets Hayley McCarthy back aboard again, so he'll be carrying 2 kilos over the minimum with 56. And these two runs, he's been able to reel off sub-36 last 600s for both of them. He's a genuine speed horse. He gets out in front, makes his own luck, and I think he'll be doing same again.
Certainly flying at the moment, and we thank you for your time. You've been flying with your selections of late, Simon, and anyone who wants to get the edge on Tassie Racing, just head to tasracing.com.au. All the Stridemaster details there and the video replays. It's certainly a growing website, and punters should be heading in that direction for sure.
They should indeed. There's plenty there, and if you can't find a winner there, you might be looking for something else to bide your time, I think.
Exactly. Thanks for your time, Simon.
No worries.
Every Wednesday on Carnival, Taz Racing Talk.
The Winter Carnival continues at Devonport on Sunday, racing at the Tapeta Synthetic Surface out at Tapeta Park. We've got 8 races on the card to tip us all the winners, including the Quaddy, racing journalist for Taz Racing, Peter Staples. How are you, Pete?
I'm good, Shane. It's a pretty big wrap. We'll get the quaddy. I'll tell you what, might need a quid to get the quaddy because those first two legs, I think they're really wide.
Oh, well, I've got great confidence in you. What about race number 5? It's the first leg. Might have to go a little wide here, you fancy. 1,650 metres, the journey of the benchmark 62.
Look, I've sort of come up with probably 4 or 5 genuine winning chances, and there's probably 3 or 4 others that you'd need to consider that are in with a chance as well. It's... I think there'll be a reasonable tempo in the race because there's some good speed that have drawn reasonable gates. But I'd probably, Beer Belly, Smarty Arty looks the logical selection. It won a benchmark 62 last time out, but it does go up in weight. It's going to carry 59.5, including the claim for Ismail Toka. But a Storm Barrier 11 drew Barrier 2 last time when it won a BM62 and had the run of the race. Won't get that favour this time, and it's going to be hard. Beer Belly has been knocking on the door, and Jake Bayliss gets the ride. I think that's a significant move by Adam Trinder to put Jake Bayliss in form apprentice. He's back here in Tassie, and I think he's only got another half dozen country claim wins left in him. So he's on a couple of good chances, and Beer Belly's won. Ladra from the other Adam Trinder runner. It's dropping in grade, but goes up in weight. Russo's Destiny from the Michael Trinder stable. Now, this is the one that's part-owned by Bob Charlie, former chairman of the Australian Racing Board and now chairman of the Australian Racing Hall of Fame. I spoke to Bob this morning and had a talk to him about a few things, including this horse, and he says it's being prepared for a jumps career, which is the reason why Michael Trinder has him. But in the meantime, he's getting him fit for racing, and it was a terrific first up run. Bob seems to think, and I agree, that maybe that first up run, he won't have that sort of zip this time around. So from barrier two, he might drift back in the field a bit. Light the Candles, another one of Adams, and Cielo Doro. Speedy Sort from the Ben Stevenson stable, number 8. Evil Intent, number 10. Last Start winner. It's drawn barrier 15, but it won't matter. It gets back anyway. But it'll be coming home hard. And GG's Opera has been knocking on the door with a third of its past three. So there are plenty of chances, but I'd probably try and narrow it down to 1, 2, 4, 10, 11. 1, 2, 4, 10, 11.
Any hope we can trim it up a little bit in the second leg, or is that just as tough? It's a benchmark 72 over 11.50.
We're going wider in the second leg.
Wider.
Isn't that sad? Well, look, it's a good race. It really is a good race, this benchmark 72. And Questmaster, he was a good first up run, just knocked up. He sat outside the lead, and I think Corey Parrish got a trigger finger. He wanted to get on the last plane out and didn't want to miss it. And he went for home a bit early, I think, on Questmaster. He knocked up the last little bit. Classic Outlaw ran over the top of him. And he capitulated the last 50 and ran fifth after leading. But he'll be better for the run. Alarmist is first, got a terrific first up record. And while drawn wide, he goes forward and he'll get a berth. Classic Outlaw has won its last two. Got to include it with a 1.5 kilo claim for Georgie Catania. Despite the wide draw, it's got to be a chance. Got to Have Faith was a real eye catcher. Number 5, first up. It flashed home and takes that run into the race and is improved by it. It's got to be considered. Fashion Label has a fair first up record and drawn nicely. And the 2 kilo claim for Sharks Lux puts it on the minimum. Even Danish Rock's a chance each way, second up. And then GG's Double J, the good 2 year old. From last season, he resumes here, and he's got plenty of wheel, and he's been working the place down. Tuesday Night Delight's a chance, drawn midfield, and Concrete Johnny only had 2 starts this prep for as many wins, and Siggy Carr's back in town, and she picked up nearly a 4. I think she got a full book at the card, and she takes the ride on Concrete Johnny, one of her favourite horses. So it's pretty wide. While I like Concrete Johnny as a horse, it is a big step up, and this is a very, very strong BM72. My numbers that I take in the quaddy are 1, 2, 4, 5, 7, 10, 11, and 12. 1, 2, 4, 5, 7, 10, 11, and 12. 6 of them we're taking. Oh, sorry, 8 of them we're taking in the second leg.
Now, number 12, GG's Double J, you mentioned, Pete. Bolted in a trial last week, scored effortlessly by 12 lengths, chased Admiral home a couple of times as a 2-year-old. So it's going to be a great chance first up.
Number 10, he is a chance first up. That's where you've got to include him. But like I said, this is a lot more experienced racehorses in this race. Classic Outlaw is older and more experienced. And GG's Double J is inexperienced. And while he was fresh and looked terrific winning that trial, this is going to be a lot tougher, and he has drawn barrier 13.
Okay, race number 7 is the third leg. It's the open handicap over the 1,650. It's the distance prelude. We saw the sprint prelude last week taken out by Innocent Gamble. Where are we looking here in this third leg?
Well, if you saw the win of Big Time, first up from a spell, and the wrap that Adam Trinder put on him, you'd be almost tempted to take him one out. And I'll be taking a few quaddies with him one out in the third leg. I think he does have Adam sorted him out. He came here with big expectations around Cups time in January or December last year, and he contested the Cup but didn't perform. He was the end of his tether. He has had a nice break, and Adam's super confident that he is his Cup's chance, one of his Cup's chance or contenders this season. I like him a lot, second up, And like I said, I'll be having him one out in a few of the quaddies. But I'd also be taking Spyware's Prado 1, Second Dozen 2, the stablemate of Big Time, 4 Raw Mizwaki, and 10 Land Star doing a nice gate, and is probably going to lead or just sit behind the lead. Makes sense. 6, 1, 2, 4, and 10, but we might even take 6 one out.
Okay, the last leg, it's a sprint over 1,000. It's the Class 2, Tennessee Drive, 2 from 2. Can it bring up a winning hat-trick?
Absolutely. I love him. I think he's a good horse. I think he's a real talent. And Barrier 5, another 3-kilo claim off Harley McCarthy. I don't see any reason why he can't win it. To make it a maiden, Class 1, Class 2, this prep, he just keep going. And he's he just the way that he won last time, it was with such authority, you would have to think that he'd be very, very hard to beat again. I think Osborne, The Logical Danger, and Beryl B, number 4. She'll be improved by the first up run. And Bernard also was a decent run first up and will be improved by that outing. It has a 1.5-kilo claim for Georgie Catania, Bernard, and it'll carry a half above the minimum, and Siggy Carr can't get a claim on Beryl B. But Tennessee Drive certainly gets the claim with Hayley McCarthy riding well. And, of course, she partnered Loaded Owners to victory last week for the Bruntons.
How are we going to construct a quaddy that will bring us out in front on the day?
Well, let's put it this way. If we looked at the first leg, 1, 2, 4, 8, 10 and 11, into 1, 4, 11 and 12, we'll take 6, 1 out, and then we'll take 1, 2 and 4 in the last leg, and that's for 50%, that'll cost us $30. Now, if you wanted to just take 1 out in the last with all the others, so 1, 2, 4, 8, 10, 11 into 1, 4, 11, 12 into 6 into 1. And we can take that for 50%, adding an extra $10. And then if you went even wider in the second leg and we took 2, 4, 8, 10, 11 into 1, 2, 4, 5, 7, 10, 11 and 12 into 6 and 1 for 25%, another $10. That's $50 all up. And if 6 and 1 get up in the third and the fourth legs, you'd get the quaddie for 1.25%.
So you've done some maths there, Pete. All we need now is for the 6 and the 1 to actually win.
Mm. And I'm still waiting on the halves from last week. I know we missed it, but we might... Were we still on that or not?
Whatever you like, we'll double up.
We'll double up.
Now, are these your best bets? Are these your best bets late in the day?
Look, I do think. Look, I like Big Time. I like race 7, number 6, Big Time, and race 8, number 1, Tennessee Drive. I really do. And that's the daily double, and I'll be taking that for a fair few dollars.
Okay, so 6 and 1 in the double to finish off the meeting, the third of the race meetings at Topeda Park in the last couple of weeks as the Winter Carnival continues. It's been a great success so far, Pete.
It has been, Shane. It's all the trainers and owners and even the jockeys have warmed to it. Having 5 meetings in succession on the one track. Punters like it. They can study their form, and the form really stacks up on the Topeda at Devonport. A little bit unlike Geelong in Melbourne, the Topeda synthetic form really stacks up. And although we do have a smaller pool of horses that race against each other each week, and the punters also like that as well. So it helps with the product, and I'm sure that this weekend or this Sunday will be no exception. We'll be able to find winners and get some value.
All right, thanks for your time again today, Pete. And for all Peter's tips, you can go to www.tazracing.com.au and all of Peter's selections. And a thorough look at every race on the card will be there. We'll join you again next week, Pete.
Look forward to it, Shane.
Gets into some clear air and starts to run home gamely, but it's not going to be any match for Pasha Cutie, and Pasha Cutie comes on to win by 4 metres.
Now on Taz Racing Talk, time to talk harness racing.
Co-development manager for Taz Racing of Harness Racing in Tasmania is Kevin Nielsen. How are you, Kev?
Very well, thank you, Shane.
Now, what a bumper program we had on Sunday night in Launceston. There were doubles all around and some great performances. Thought the drive of Rowan Hadley on Punt Road Disco was worth going to see just for that alone.
It was a Rowan Hadley classic. He's very cool. He's Gavin Lang-like, and he got the chocolates with Punt Road Disco. Another beautiful drive by Rowan, and also he nursed the handy two-year-old filly, being days like this around for her second win, and she looks like a likely type as well. Interesting, Rowan also had Spitfire Rose in there, and she was a pretty solid run in the C5 to C9 leading into the Breeders' Crown this week, where he'll front up in a semi-final on Sunday. But, yeah, the drivers have got doubles there on Sunday. Johnny Walters with Vincent Kango and Karauta Dazzler. Todd Rattray won with Baby Achu and Devendra for his father Barry. And we'll mention Rowan Hadley and also Rowan Hillier, trained one, being Robin Shabotsky, and drove Liberty Naiad. She was an impressive first-up winner, Liberty Naiad. She was actually the first horse to qualify as a two-year-old in Tasmania for the season back in October last year. And the racing only starts in January, so Neil had her ready early, but a bit of a setback then, but she showed her ability last Sunday with a good debut win in the $8,000 Launceston Belmont. Vincent Kango is a handy type for a man who's had handy horses for two or three decades in Ian Abraham at Waterhouse. Only his third start, and certainly did plenty of work, and John Walters wasn't afraid to put it in the race, and it produced the goods with a win. Another one was Rainbow Phoenix, three-year-old for Keith Toulmin, 23 starts, broke through, $57.50, thanks for Adrian Collins.
And went all the way back to last early, Kevin. Looked to have no chance at that point of the race, but just kept on coming.
Well, our good form expert, Jamie Cockshutt, mentioned this horse to me about three starts back. He gave it a chance in the race. I can't think where it was, but that means he's got a pretty keen eye. I don't know whether he followed up at the $57.50, but he did identify it about three starts back.
Yeah, it was a great performance, trapped wide early, and all the way back to last, and probably the 50-1 looked like 200-1 at that stage, but as we know, they can get up at that price, and home it went. Very strong effort.
It was indeed.
Now, what about Barado?
Barado's a very good mare. She's had 10 foals, 6 have gone to the races now. Baruga Bullets won 51. Most of those were in America. Some of these horses that go from Australia to America end up winning 20 or 30 races, and I think Baruga Bullet was in that category. Baruga Brandy won 6, Baruga Jasper 8, Baruga Bardo 2, Baruga Billy 4, and Vincent Kango, the last one out of Barado, the Torado Hanover mare, has won one race, and of course that was last Sunday.
Now, the Breeders' Crown semi-finals, they're going to be held on Saturday night.
Yeah, it's always promised to be a big Tasmanian contingent, and that's how it's planned out. The semi-finals on Saturday night, and the four-year-olds, they can't fit them all on the one card on Saturday night, so the four-year-olds go to Milton on Sunday. But on Saturday night, we've got Boston Hagen for Christian Salt, the two-year-old. Horror barrier draw in race 7, and the class in the race is incredible. Mark Purden's got Follow the Stars in barrier 3, and Birdie Mac, who qualified through a repercharge last week, is off the second line in the same race. And another Tasmanian connection in that race is Mojo Major, part-owned, of course, by Paige Ashwood from Brighton and driven by her son Alex, and they qualified with a repercharge win at Geelong last Wednesday. Birinya, there's probably no better filly in Australia than Birinya, and she's trying to really stamp that tag with the Breeders' Crown semi-final on Sunday. On Saturday night, Shane, at Ballarat. She's drawn the second line, but the way she's been racing in top-quality races in Victoria in recent times, she should qualify for the final. She can probably win this semi-final and go through to the final. Resurgent Spirit, of course, now in the Barry Rattray camps, come up with a Boston Hagen draw out in Barrier 7 in a hot field. Our Sky Major in Mallee 3 and Bling It On. Won 17 this season, renowned as a sit-and-sprint horse. He trails through from the second line. And of course, Bling It On won the two-year-old leg of this series last year. Sunday, they're much better. The draw, Spitfire Rose for Rowan Hadley, draws barrier 1 in race 6 at Melton on Sunday. She's won 8 from 19 in Tassie, and she should qualify for the final from this ideal barrier draw. Same for Patrick Cutie. He's won 9 from his last 10 in Tasmania. He's in race 7. He's barrier 1. And again, he's also already demonstrated what he can do at this level with a solid second to bit of a legend in the final last year, the three-year-old final. And James Rattray ventures down from Mananga with Delightful Christian. She was third in the three-year-old final last year, and now is a four-year-old mare. She's drawn the second line in race 5, a good trailing draw again. Hopefully she can qualify for the finals at Milton on Sunday the 24th.
So two bumper nights of racing in Victoria. A couple of other Tasmanians making their mark on the mainland.
Yeah, look, just very quickly, the engagements this weekend. Broadband Friday night, race 6, number 5 at Melton. Menangle Saturday night, Tony Macaroni, race 1, number 7. And a couple at Albion Park, Truly Blissful, better draw there in races 1 and 3.
Now, the program just keep getting bigger here in Tassie. Sunday night in Hobart, 10 races.
A little bit surprised with the 10 this week, Shane, because we've got Barry Rattray campaigning in Victoria, so is Dick Eves. Rowan Hadley's got one over there. But we might fall away a little bit this week, but very good card. 10 races and a minimum of 8 starters in each. Some of them go out to 10s and 11s, and of course we've got 13 in the standing start the first race. And in that race, Coralta Dazzler was the winner of the stand last week, the C1 and better. Now makes him a C2, so he comes off the front in the C2 and better, and he'll be very hard to beat in that race. And of course, he's at the Crown time. He's out of Coralta Crown. And she ran third in the Breeders' Crown final for two-year-old fillies back in 2008. So it's timely that that three-year-old gelding for Kent Rattray is performing at the moment. No beer, no fear. Trained in the, no, not the middle of Tasmania, but between Kanara Junction and Epping Forest at Cleveland by Gary Bishop. First up as a three-year-old, of course, won the big one for the fillies last season, the $30,000 Vickers final. And it'll be interesting to see how No Beer, No Fear goes off the back of a midfield effort at the Carrick trial about 2 weeks back. Angela DeMarco, she's racing through her classes. She's attempting 4 wins from the last 6 in Tasmania in race 3 to C1, C2. And she's well drawn in barrier 3 on the front line. Of course, Devendra, the Cups King, Bernie, Carrick, Devonport Cups. And in the absence of the stablemate, Patrick Cutie, he's racing as well as any open class horse in Tasmania. And, of course, we'll see him go around in the discretionary handicap, race 8.
So it promises to be a tremendous night. That's Hobart on Sunday night. And you can pick up all the information on the meeting and everything that is in harness racing around Australia on the tasracing.com.au website. That's where you get the edge on Tassie racing. You can also look at the Punter's Corner section with Jamie Cockshutt's tips. So thanks for your time again today, Kev.
Yeah, my pleasure, Shane.
Taz Racing Talk. Everything you need to get the edge.
10 races on the card in Hobart on Sunday night for Twilight Harness Racing. The man charged with tipping as winners is Jamie Cockshutt. How are you, Jamie?
Yeah, good, mate.
Now, this program looks a strong one. What do you like in the first leg of the quaddie, race 5?
It's a tough race, Shane. Giuliani's had 2 runs back from a spill now, mate, so he should be ready to put his best foot forward, and he'll take a pair of beanie. Maybe Rama draws well tonight, and he was huge last 2 starts back, running 2nd of Franco Sheffield, sitting outside him going 158. So from barrier 2, he's going to take plenty of running down. LJ's Maverick drops a bit in class here from taking on Spitfire Rose, who I've noticed he's over in running around at Melton on Sunday in the heat of the Breeders' Crown. So she'll be able to beat if she can get in the race, and an inch of his life is drawn ideally from the pole. And racing very well, so if he can give a crack at him, he's got a hope as well, but I'm happy to go 6 Giuliani from 2 Maybe Rama, 1 and 10, 3rd and 4th LJ's Maverick into his life. And then you've got Go Like Say Lombo, Party Boy Glenwood, Mucky Dave, and Pat Murray Disco can fill a minor first 4 placing, mate.
Okay, race number 6, it's over a mile. Looks to be a number of winning chances here.
Yeah, it's a tricky race, to be honest. Race 6, really Feifei. This will be a 3rd run back from a spill. And at her best, she's a handy mare. And yeah, she's won more races than most of these put together, actually. She's drawn a touch wide, but if Justin Campbell, runs the gate hard and keeps going until he perseveres to find the lead, she's going to take plenty of running gear. A boy called Sue's been racing consistently, but always seems to find a couple better than him, but he's going to be a danger. Same vote as M's choice. Then you've got also like Blitz and Gamble, E-Babe, and that can fill a minor first force. But I'm happy to go 6 Willie Feifei. From 4 M's choice, 5 A Boy Called Sue with Blitz and Gamble, E-Babe for 4th and 5th, mate.
Race number 7 on the card. Christian Salter looks to have one of the leading chances here with Island Disco going around.
Yeah, she's a funny horse, Island Disco. She's got a lot of ability, but she has got a few feet problems. So I'm sure Christian wouldn't be running her if she wasn't right. So she's, on class, she's definitely the one to beat. She's drawn well. She might be able to spear to the lead, and she'll take plenty of running down. Bonafide Hustler gets well in this race. Being a C3, gets into a C1, C2 of the junior driver claim. Drawn a touch wide, but he's sure to be hitting the line hard. Then you've got Skymaker from the pole. We never had no luck last start, just not sure of a gate speed. Smoke and Busted will be hitting the line hard, and Better Bolt's trying to get a soft run, just probably 3 pegs, and if the run's come, he can finish hard at good odds. So if he goes 3, Island Disco from 6, Bonafide Hustler from 178 for 3rd and 4th, mate, that's Skymaker, Smoke and Busted, and Better Bolt.
Now, in the last leg, it's the free-for-all. Devendra, impressive winner last time out.
Yeah, he won well last week, Shane Launceston, but, he was driven a treat by a young child and pulled out and just done what he had to do. But, drawn 3, he might spear to the lead again. And if he does, he's going to take plenty of running down. But, you know, there are a couple of horses with chances in this. Almir's Dream, you know, ran second to him the other night, you know, coming off 20 metres as well, and you know, ran into probably a metre. So back to the mobile conditions, you know, he's going to be a danger with the right run. And you've got Grey Steel, who's got brilliant gate speed, and if they decide to use it up early, and they might be able to get across to Avengers, so that could make it interesting. Our chain of command gets to get a good run through from his trailing draw, being the lone run off the back row. If he's close enough and they run along, mate, he'll be getting the line hard. And you do it, he's always a hope with the right run. And Star Chamber comes in a free-for-all for the first time, you know, way up in class. But can sprint very quickly with the right run, so don't be surprised if he runs the place as well. But I'm happy to go 3 to Avenger, 6 Almir's Dream, 8 Our Chain of Command, 4 and 5 to fill the first 4 places, mate.
So what's that make our quaddie look like?
It's a bit tough, actually. We'll have 2 quaddies. We'll go, first leg, we'll go 1, 2, 6 and 10. Second leg, we'll just go 4, 5 and 6. Third leg, we'll go 1, 3, 6, 7 and 8. The last thing will go just 3, Devendra 1 out and 1 of them. A $30 flex will give us 50%. If it's in the other one, we'll go same in the first 3 legs, 1, 2, 6 and 10. Second leg, 4, 5, 6. Third leg, 1, 3, 6, 7, 8. We'll chuck in numbers 4, 6 and 8, just in case Devendra gets bowled over. And $45 will give you 25% of that dividend, mate.
Okay, and what about the other races on the card? Did you find something there for us?
Race 1, Corrado Dazzler, as we all know in Tassie, he's airborne at the moment. And even though rising slightly in class, but not a great deal, he's still well placed off the front runner. If he just pinks to the lead, he's going to take no one to beating in the first. Race 2, there's a couple of runners in this race. It was very unlucky the other week. Rockback Dancer and Stone to Rainbow. No luck whatsoever. And they should go around $5, $6. And, you know, they both work a good each way gamble. And even another one in it was noteworthy. Lombo, that come from a long way back as well, around third, beat them two home. So you'll go around a double figure order. So that's a race where there's a bit of value, I think, with the numbers 8, 9 and 10. Race 3, also got a share in Angela DeMarco. She's going very well, and she's going to take no end of beating in the third. You know, the main danger looks Mr. Ryan Jack. So in that race, we'll play a trifecta in the first four. We'll go 3 to win, 8 for second, field for third, $7 flex to give you 100%. Then we'll go another one, 3 to win, field for second, 8 for third, $7 flexi gives you 100%. You can also go first ball on the same line, Shane. 3 to win, 8 for second, field for third and fourth. And 3 to win, field for second, 8 for third, field for fourth, mate. Just, you know, whatever the punter wants to put on, mate, just have it as a flexi. I'll get a small dividend on the first four. Race 4 is a 2-year-old. There's a horse called John Snow that's been pretty impressive at his first two runs, and he gets his chance to notch up his first career win in the 2-year-old. The main danger is either making time from 10, so, and then you've got Be Good Franklin from the pole that's got some hope from there. So in that race, I'm happy to go a trifecta, 2 to win from 1 and 10 for second, field for third, six, just hope a bit of value gets in there, $16 will give you 100%, and 2 to win, field for second, 1 and 10 for third, $16 will give you 100% of the dividend, mate. It's good each way betting race 9, Just Crossing. I reckon he should go around about $5 and he'll find this a lot easier than last week's assignment, and he's got a good each-way hope. And the claimer in the last, as you know, most claimers are lotteries. You've got the old veteran Sky Tower, Milkpipe Master, the Adriatic first up at Jade Running. He's got a bit of gate speed, so it'll be a bit of fireworks, silly. But Sky Tower just looks a real good each-way bet in the last, being the lone run of the back rail, around about $6, so he'd be a good each-way gamble as well, mate.
All right, well, it sounds like a great night of harness racing coming up. You've tried to steer us onto a winner or two, so we thank you for that. And if anyone would like to check out all of Jamie's tips, you just head to the tasracing.com.au website and gain the edge, because Jamie's got a detailed of all the details of each race, and hopefully we can find a winner or two out of this meeting coming up on Sunday. So thanks for your efforts again today, Jamie.
Thanks a lot, mate.
In the first heat of the Sprint Championship, he's 6 in front and going further ahead. Buckle up, Wes is going to blitz them by, oh, down to the post. He's won up by 13 lengths.
Now, on TAS Racing Talk, time to talk greyhounds.
Time for greyhound racing now on TAS Racing Talk, and joining us, as he does every week, is Greg Fay. How are you, Greg?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks, Shane.
Well, what a week we've had this week with the final of the Sprint and Distance State Championships. Not without some catastrophe almost in Launceston on Monday night, but finally got there after problems with the lure. The performance of Buckle Up was nothing short of sensational.
No, he's just a great dog. He's you know, the best sprinting dog. Well, I say the best. We've had a couple of absolute freaks in the last few years. I mean, Rewind, Darmek, Big Moose. You know, the quality of our breeding's obviously improved so much because the quality of our best dogs are up there with the best in Australia with the number of group races we've won everywhere. That couldn't be a better dog, couldn't be in better hands. And I'm just looking through the list of times that Ted Medhurst has represented Tasmania in the National Sprint Championship. He had 2000 Coyote Door, which ran second in the national final when it was run at Launceston. He won it with Super Spectre in 04. He won it with Collector in 06, with Capriccio in 07. And he won it with Rob Pines in 2012, and now he's won it again in 2014. So that in itself is pretty amazing.
And this would be his best chance of collecting the major prize.
Given that the others all got beat, I reckon you're spot on.
can't get any worse, can he?
Without being a smart aleck, Coyote Door led for a long way when Placard beat him at Launceston, but buckle up, Wes. If he draws box, I'd love to see him in box one or two, but I think Flash Reality, you know, is a big threat from Queensland. I reckon he's got the rest covered.
Painted Dotting just got there in the Distance Championship.
Yeah, look, she's just a quality dog on our standards. No disrespect to her. She's probably not quite up to national distance standard, given that we have so little distance racing here. But Mick's given her every chance, Mick Stringer, by taking her to Sydney for those four runs where she won three, came back, won last week, won this week. Look, it was a marred race due to a certain dog that I wish would retire, but I've mentioned him enough times on the show, so I won't again. But in the end, she won by a head, by a half head. She deserved to win it. She deserves to go to Perth, and she couldn't be in better form in her whole career. So a good draw there, and she might sneak into the money.
Certainly wasn't a one-act affair, though. It was a wonderful finish.
Oh, terrific finish. Pedro's Vineyard was terrific the week before, and except for a certain dog in that race, probably would have won the final. She got annoyed relentlessly. And then Wild Cindy, which came from the rear, only got beaten a neck on the line by both of them. A fantastic race.
And a great night for Anthony Bullock with a winning treble.
Yeah, look, Anthony's got a big team, as we know, but he keeps producing the goodies. He can't draw a box with his great dog, Helia Bolt, but he'll win a big race soon. But, yes, he got the job done with a treble with some of his lesser lights. But he's just a good trainer, isn't he? And he fronts up and keeps a lot of our meetings going.
Certainly does. Mason Pines, very quick time in scoring in its particular race.
That was just out of the blue. I don't think Anthony, even in his wildest dreams, would have thought that Mason Pines, A, would have led, B, would have run the sections that he ran, which were just the sections of a dog like Buckle Up Wears, and then run 29.59 overall. I thought he got his foot stuck in the lure, but I watched the replay and he didn't.
Shantytown Lad, another top performance, been in great form of late.
Yeah, Shantytown Lad came from Victoria with, I think, only one win from eight, and Anthony's won about five with it on all tracks. He's just a really good performer because he does everything right, and you don't have to be the best dog always when you're in front. He's usually there.
And Trudel's, well, it's been suggesting it'll be winning a race shortly, and it flew out of the boxes on Monday.
Look, she was a moral beaten at Hobart last Thursday night when she got cleaned up, went in a winning position, and the race she was in on Monday night, albeit they were fairly pedestrian, there weren't many leaders in it, and she decided straight away she wanted to lead and put a gap in them and broke 30 seconds. You know, she's probably just come right through, so I think there's a lot of wins in her.
Now, last Thursday in Hobart, a couple of first starters produced the goods, Susie's Sister and So Far Away, both over the sprint journey.
Yeah, well, Susie's Sister is only a very young dog, 18 months old, for Tony Stennings, and she came out of a very unsuitable box six, had to chase down the leader in Super Loud, and got the job done in 1980, so you'd think there are a lot more wins in store there. And So Far Away, out of the, you know, star performer Sultan Swing, with Richard Stanford, she didn't jump straight to the lead, oh, Joy did, but she soon dispensed with her, and then put a gap in them and ran 1973. And both her and her brother, was a first starter, also London Town, which ran second, they'll be, you know, winning plenty of races, I reckon.
Beautifully bred by Dynatron from Sultan Swing.
Doesn't get much better than that, does it?
Certainly doesn't. Now, buckle up, Geordie, in the first for Gary Johnson.
Yep, he's been trying to win one for a while, but when he did finally break through, he did in style. Look, he's only a young dog, but I think it took him about 14 runs to win. but his sections were good and the 26.40 was excellent.
And a young lady scoring her first win in the second.
Yes, Rachel Moat, granddaughter of Graham Moat. Certainly a lot of experience there before she put the lead on one officially. And Hurricane Nell's been promising to win one and got the job done well for her.
Now, a lady at the other end of the scale, Wanda Hodges, took out the first leg of the quaddy with Whispering Ash.
Yeah, another young lass who really likes her her greyhound racing. Whispering Ash came to her from the Thomases and she's won three or four races with it. Look, a dog of modest ability but very good habits early.
Tremendous to see Debbie Cannon get Varco back to winning form.
Yep, Varco has been a bit of a head case for the last month or so, but Debbie's persevered with him, and that's the best he's begun in a long time on Thursday night. He ran 26.29, which is still significantly below what he can run, but he got the job done well. And the proof in the form was that second and third, that was then, and Hannah Bowden come out and ran 1-2 at Devonport.
This time last year, the Ellen Anderson kennel was on fire around national state distance time of the finals, with Alan representing Tasmania on that occasion. He picked up a winning double in Hobart on Thursday.
He did. Lashing Illusion's always been a good little beginner, and that was her 11th win. And then later on, he produced the goodies with Blue Tam, which pulled out a career-best 26.19. And, gee, he nearly represented Tasmania 2 years in a row, because Pedro's Vineyard only got beaten a whisker in the state final. So yeah, this must be Alan's time of the year.
It must be, coming good late in winter. Now, Philip Cassidy with Blue Fireball.
I wish his football team had come good late in winter. He's a Bulldog supporter.
Yeah, well, that's going to be a struggle, Greg.
Sorry, which dog did you just mention?
Well, not the Bulldogs, Blue Fireball.
Yeah, Blue Fireball's a very good beginning greyhound that has a funny galloping action, and I think he's taken a bit of time to mature. That was his fourth win, and it definitely won't be his last.
And Anthony Bullock back in the winner's list again with Chinchero in the ninth.
Yeah, next mainlander that had box six. She was outside the very good beginning Tez Borrow, but she didn't wait for Tez Borrow. She jumped straight to the front and put a gap in them, and the way she won, she'll repeat it.
And Scott Fenton with Sir Buddy in the last, one of two very good runs for the week.
Yeah, gee, Scott's only just taken this dog back over. Ralph Townsend owns it, and gee, he was a rank outsider against the likes of Classic Spence, which made the state final Monday night, and the really smart Underclass Hero, which did a lot wrong. But gee, he never looked like being beaten. He'll win again too.
Devonport on Tuesday, Bill McNally took the rogue off Baron Impact and it scored a most impressive win.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was Bill's first runner in Tasmania. He's now living here at Beaconsfield, I believe. And the way it won, came out of box six, and again, there were some pretty good beginners in that race, but he led, Antivus jumped in front, but he soon dragged him off, and pretty good debut, 25.91.
Now, last week, you steered us on to Jamila Nova after a luckless third on debut. Didn't take long to break into the winner's list for David Booth.
No, I think she might be a pretty good bitch, actually. She did jump straight at the front off box five. Ted Medhurst had two very good last start winners in Star Chamber and Superficial, and she gapped them early, and they made some ground, but she still had a length and three quarters on the line. She's a pretty good little girl, that one.
Ted had High Caution from box number one in the third.
Yeah, look, in fairness, High Caution's probably been a very disappointing dog, because he started off with four wins from his first seven or eight, hasn't won in his past 13, but when he drew box one with a wide runner in two and a few pedestrians further out, if he hadn't have won that race, I reckon he might have been looking for another kennel.
And we had Brendan Purcell. Brendan, as we've mentioned many times, had a wonderful run over the last couple of years, and he had a couple of winners there on Tuesday, Despicable Lee and Cool Puppy.
Oh, I think he's going to have a wonderful run for about the next 10 years. I love the way he goes about his work. Despicable Lee was chasing the early leaders in Dark Spider and Super Funds and persevered for a rails run. And when it come, she poked through and ran 25.96. She's just a good little girl.
And Cool Puppy continued on its blitzing win fashion of late. It's only had the three starts in Tassie and won the morning great style.
Yeah, look, he's he wouldn't win a beauty contest for his galloping action. Like, he's all over the shop. But what he has got is a very good box speed and big speed when he hits the ground. And very, very exciting greyhound. And he produced 25.69 first time round Devonport.
Camdale Luke's been around Devonport a few times, but he won the first leg of the quaddy.
50-something times, actually. That was his third win at Devonport. Again, it was a suitable race, and in fairness to a dog who doesn't win very often, his run the week before was pretty good.
Gaylene Townsend, she had That Was Then in the second leg.
And she had Hannah Bowden, and she hoped she took the Quinella because they were never, ever going to run anything but first and second. Hannah Bowden led, That Was Then, her sister. Don't often see many white red fawn dogs these days. It's a pleasure to see dogs that aren't black. And she's a very good bitch. They came to her in good nick, and she's taken them to another level again.
Arnold Bibby's been most consistent since coming to Tassie without winning out of turn, but showed the opposition a clean set of pads on Tuesday.
Yeah, look, like most of Gerald Mace's dogs, they don't race off Devonport very often. He's had three wins there now, and each time he's won, he's actually ran very, very fast time. None faster than Tuesday when he ran 25.66.
And Julia Flies finally broke through.
She did. She's been promising to win for a while without getting the job done. She got to the lead mid-race and then held off Terracotta Girl. It was a very, very close photo, that. Beat her by a nose.
Now, we mentioned earlier that Anthony might have been a little surprised with the time Mason Pines ran back in Launceston on Monday. What about the performance of Honest to Rod in race 10?
Well, I'm assuming he showed Honest to Rod the replays of Mason Pines the night before, because the one thing he does all the time that Mason Pines doesn't is he always shows that early speed, but what he hasn't got is much stamina until Tuesday. And he held on really gamely to beat a couple of smart ones. And the 25.74, I mean, it shows you the state of the Devonport track, which is slick. But also, Honest to Rod might just be coming good too.
Well, our listeners are still counting their money after backing Jibella Nova on Tuesday. What about another one for them this week?
Look, another dog that ran third on debut that's similar to Jibella Nova, and also it was in the first race at Devonport, of Graham Barber's, called Elite Enfield. Only a young dog out of Lady Eisenheim. He showed very, very good pace mid-race and then held on strongly for third in what was a pretty good juvenile. I think he'll be winning soon.
Good on you, Greg. Thanks for your thoughts today.
Thanks, Shane.
Every Wednesday on Carnival, Taz Racing Talk with Shane Yates.
Time for some more winners now on Taz Racing Talk, and the man in charge of that is Rick Puccinelli. How are you, Eric?
Very well, Shane.
Well, you've been on fire over the last couple of months. We need another winner or two from you from the three meetings coming up during the week. We start off with Hobart. First leg of the quaddy is race number 5. What about the run of Trudels last week?
Super run Monday night, Shane, 29.96, you know, went good sectionals. I just can't see why it won't zoom to the lead again and be very, very hard to beat. 7 on top. 8 Winkley Rose got a good draw. Now, it did win at Devonport, running 25.87, jumping in front. Box 8 won't be a hindrance, got a good chance. 4 Real Impact, didn't mind its run last week, when it ran third to Whispering Ash, battled on very well to run second, thought it had a chance. And the query runner's number 1, Cracker Jack Dad. 40 starts for 5 wins and 5 minor placings. Looks like it's got some speed off the internet. Leon Brazendale won't do it any harm. Got a chance. 7, 8, 4 and 1.
In the second leg, Steve Hutt's got Red Nitro in box 3.
Can't see why he can't win again, Shane. It's 25.53. Best of the day at Devonport. Very good dog on the bunny. 3 on top, Red Nitro. 2 good questions being placed. 3 of 3 at Hobart. Has recorded 26.08 win there. Look, I think it's the obvious danger number 2. Good question. 6 Kawasaki Rose. Did a satisfactory trial in 26.40. Now, this bitch, when she was on song, she had very good box manners, good speed. Think Debbie Cannon wouldn't put her in if she wasn't right, so put her in for third. And I put in Shandy Town Lad. Good win at Launceston on Monday night. Goes good in Hobart. 3, 2, 6 and 5.
In the third leg, it's a grade 4. Blue Tam in winning 4.
Yeah, Shane was backed off the map on Tats bet. They were betting 440 fixed odds and it paid evens. I've got a little program that tells you how much money were invested on the thing, and someone had $1,500 very, very late on the thing, and they got the money, but they took the unders. But look, a winner's a winner, and look, I can't see why it can't nearly zoom to the lead again and be very, very hard to beat. I put 2 on top, 3 Spring Fall. I think I mentioned on the show last week, she's really grinding at the moment. She's lost her early speed, but I just think in this race she's got a chance, number 3, Spring Fall. 5 Dark Gladiators, the dog that'll be storming home, and 8 Snoring Nora. Think she reserves the best for Launceston, but she's got box 8. 2, 3, 5 and 8.
The last leg looks an open affair.
Yeah, Shane, I've gone with a greyhound that's never won at Hobart, and I always have this little worry in the back of my mind when I want to back one. when they haven't won on the track when they've had numerous goes at it. But I'm thinking number three, Winkley Bent. Now, its last three runs, it's chased home Red Nitro, King Nitro, and that was then. There's no name sort of dogs in this sort of race. I just thought she had a good chance, Winkley Bent. Three on top. JD Bear is improving with each run that it's had on Tasmanian soil, number seven, I put in for second. Big Queries, number eight, Princess Gemini. Now, I looked up its breeding. It's by Nitro Burst out of Wind Fire, which makes it a full sister to Red Nitro and King Nitro. It's had 22 starts for two wins and four minor placings. Got speed, got box eight. So you've got to put it in the mix. And I put in number one, Windburn Blaze. He was spotted at Launceston running home very strongly on Monday night. 3, 7, 8, and 1.
Rich Quadrilla for Hobart in the first leg, 7, 8, 4, 1. Second leg, 3, 2, 6, 5. Third leg, 2, 3, 5, 8. Last leg, 3, 7, 8, and 1. Where's your best?
Oh, Shane, you don't have to be a scholar to work out where your best bet is. It's race 11, number 1, Oxley Rimfire. The bank tellers that like taking the $1.30 or $1.40, it'll win. Race 11, number 1, Oxley Rimfire.
Okay, said with some confidence there. We head to Launceston on Monday night. King Nitro goes around in the first leg.
Yeah, Shane, as I mentioned just a moment ago about dogs that haven't won on the track, he's had two starts on the Launceston track and he's never been placed. I think he'll spear to the lead and be very hard to beat, but I can't come in the real cramped odds that he's going to be for a dog that's had unplaced two or two with my little stats. 8, Winsome Tommy's got a chance from the draw. 3, Golden Sage. I'm giving it another chance, and 2, Miss Somebody. She'll be storming home at the end of the race. 5, 8, 3, and 2.
Well, Steve Hutt's had a great run of success of late with King Nitro and Red Nitro. You've got Red Nitro going around in the second leg.
Yeah, and I can't see why. He's another one that might spear to the lead and be very, very hard to beat, Shane. He's won 2 from 4 on this track, and he's recorded 30.06, so there's no problems with him on the track. So I've gone 4, Red Nitro. 7, Aroma Pichet. Now, it jumped sideways at Devonport on Tuesday and had no luck, and it battled on well to run third. I put it in for second. 8, Little Miss takes the drawn bitch in the race, and she'll be working home very strongly. And I've got to put in number 1, Good Odds Demon. He'll relish box 1, and he's got a good chance. 4, 7, 8, and 1.
I think in that third leg, we're going to have to go pretty wide because the winner's not that obvious to me, at least.
Well, it ain't to me either, Shane. I'm going for a greyhound that had 15 starts on the Launceston circuit and never won a race. And, I'm talking about backing dogs that haven't won on the track. But Buckle Up Barney's got good early speed, desperate railer. Just think he's got some chance here. 2 on top. 5, Rock Royalty. Didn't mind its run at Devonport on Tuesday in for second. 7, Dark Gladiator will be working home well, and 8, Windburn Blaze. 2, 5, 7, and 8.
And in the last leg, will you tip Blue Tam to us on Thursday night? Can it follow up and be your top selection again on Monday night?
Yeah, it's me on top selection, Shane. I can't find a lot of depth in the race. The big query is number 8, Prince Nitro. He's another one of the Nitro Burst Windfire breeding. He's drawn box 8. Off the internet, he looks like he's got some speed, and as we know, Steve Hutt's improved this litter out of sight, so he's the main danger, number 8, Prince Nitro, without knowing much about him. 2, Buckle Up Nico for 3rd, and I put in number 7, Chilliwack in for 4th. 6, 8, 2, 7.
Launceston Quaddy, first leg 5, 8, 3, 2, second leg 4, 7, 8, 1, third leg 2, 5, 7, 8, last leg 6, 8, 2, and 7. Now, we went very late in Hobart on Thursday night. I'm tipping we're going early in Launceston.
No, Shane, you're not on song at the moment, mate. You're out of kilter. Race 10, number 1, Tommy Pinch. Now, you're going to look in the guide, and it's got an 8th beside his name behind Whispering Ash. Now, as soon as the lids come up, he took 2 steps and he got decked. He ran 8th. He's run prior to that. He won in Devonport in 26.29 from box 8. He's a desperate railer. I just think that he might be around the 6 to 4, 7 to 4 mark. I think he'd be very hard to beat. Race 10, number 1, Tommy Pinch.
That's about how it sounds. My AFL team went played 2 games and they're out of business. Now, Devonport on Tuesday, only 8 races on the card. The first leg of the quaddy, Kirkby Lodge, is drawn down in box number 8.
Yeah, it's got a good chance, Shane. He's got a good turn of high speed and the box won't hurt him. I was just taken with a dog called Chinchero's win in Hobart. Just forget he went round on Tuesday at Devonport. Thought he had a chance. 4 to beat 8, Kirkby Lodge, the dog that you're tipping from the draw. Great Taylors has got to be in the mix, number 3, because it's dropping back into a grade 4. And number 1, Callaway George. Now, Butch Deverell, box 1, we know how lethal he can be. 4, 8, 3, and 1.
In the second leg, Trudels, again, top pick in Hobart on Thursday. Are we following up at Devonport?
I've just put it in for second, Shane. I've gone with number 1, Winburn Loco. Look, there's no genuine leader in the race. Trudels is a hit-and-miss beginner, as we well know. I think Winburn Loco might rail through and lead. 1 on top, 5 Trudels is a main danger. Didn't mind the runner number 6, Captain Lane, last week. Thought his run was very, very good. And not, his stablemate, Alaskan Prince, has got a chance also, drawn close to the fence. 1, 5, 6, and 2.
The third leg is the invitation, flash inning. He comes up with a red box.
Yeah, Shane, I'm actually going for a little bitch called Dominator Girl. I think 1 and 6 might dominate this race, along with Despicable Matt. They clearly look the 3 to me. I went 6 Dominator Girl. I think it might sit outside flash innings and just might be that tad little bit too strong at the finish. 6 to beat 1 flash innings, 2 Despicable Matt, and my old mate Senior Slammer number 7. 6, 1, 2, and 7.
Don't think I'll need to be a rocket scientist to pick your top pick in the final leg, race number 8.
Shane, he's a very, very promising galloper. He's got a funny galloping action. He runs centre of the track, but boy, oh boy, has he got a motor. And Brendan Purcell's got the best out of him. Cool Puppy, number 6 on top. 5, Shantytown Lad. He'll be looking for the fence. He's going good at the moment. I'll put him in for second. 1, Freestyle Moguls, resuming from a spell. Got good speed. Got a chance. And number 3, Winburn Rush. These Winburn dogs are a little bit of a headache to me, but they've all got big motors. 6, 5, 1, and 3.
Devonport on Tuesday. The first leg, 4, 8, 3, 1. In the second leg, 1, 5, 6, 2. Third leg, 6, 1, 2, 7. Last leg, 6, 5, 1, and 3. Now, I've been wrong with your best bet so far. I'm tipping it can't be late because there's only 8 races, so we go early this time.
Very well put. Shane, I'm going to a maiden race. I'm going race 3, number 1, Double Chance. Now, he's been placed 2 of his last 3. He was placed behind his kennel mate in Hobart last Thursday night over the 340. I've just got this sneaking suspicion that he might zoom straight to the lead. The way Devonport track's running at the moment, he run 25.80, and I think he'll bring up a well-deserved win for Jill Stanford. Race 3, number 1, Double Chance.
Well, you've convinced me. So Hobart Race 11, number 1, Oxley Rimfire. Launceston Race 10, number 1, Tommy Pinch. And then we'll load up at Devonport Race 3, number 1, Double Chance. Thanks for your tips again today.
Thanks, Shane.
That takes us away for another week of Taz Racing Talk. Hope you've enjoyed the program and jotted down all those coming winners. And for all other information on Tasmanian racing, just head to tasracing.com.au. Whether it be greyhound racing, harness or thoroughbred action, all the information is there for you to get the edge on Tassie racing. Look forward to your company again next week.
Taz Racing Talk, every Wednesday on Carnival. On digital radio across Melbourne, streaming on your computer, tablet and smartphone. And later on podcast at rsn.net.au and tazracing.com.au.
This podcast was brought to you by rsn.net.au.